All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, here we go. Another fun day in the big city. All-Star game, yeah. But it's not the biggest news of the day. Biggest news of the day is we got the JYD in here. We got number 17 in your scorebook, number one in your heart from Clutch City. Mario Elie joins Barry, myself, and Nick, the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. So, Mario, welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see
Let's make sure you don't keep it that professional the rest of the show. I appreciate it.
Probably not, but...
All good. Bear, what's up?
What's up, man?
Everything good?
I'm good.
Nick?
Can't complain, man. Doing fantastic.
All right. Good. So we get that out of the way. Everybody's chilling. Everything's good. So Mario's going to join us for at least the first hour. So we've got plenty to kick around once we get through the first segment. But definitely want to talk some hoops. The hot stove is cooking right now with talk of Carmelo Anthony. I just saw one of the possibilities posted on Twitter, a three-way deal including the Milwaukee Bucks, in which Ryan Anderson goes to Milwaukee, Toledovich and a bunch of soon-to-be-cut players go to the Knicks, along with a future first-round pick, and Melo to the Rockets. Your thoughts?
I mean, I know everybody's trying to keep up with the Warriors, but I mean, we were third in the West last year. I didn't think we needed a big overhaul, just a couple pieces here and there. I thought we lost a couple good pieces. Was very disappointed in the playoffs last year. We're not playing Decker and Harrell. You didn't play. You played these guys all season. They played well. Then you go into a series against the Spurs. Only played seven guys. That was very puzzling to me. And that game five really carried over to game six. The fatigue sort of set in. You got to play your whole bench. So now we're retooling the team. James was successful. Helling the ball. Now you got one of the best point guards coming in who always also likes handling the ball. So that dynamic to me is going to be very interesting, even though Chris Paul is outstanding talent. But James had a hell of a year last year, and it's going to be interesting how those two coexist together.
What is that locker room going to be like? I mean, you know, they're friends, but I've always said I feel like if this goes south, it's going to be on James and his attitude throughout the season. He's probably good right now. How does that dynamic work between friends, but they also share the ball handling duties?
Well, first and foremost, Melo, if they get him, or Chris Paul, I understand, James Harden is the face and is the best player on the team. So let's establish that. Should be no egos. James is the best player. He's the face of the franchise. So these other two guys are trying to win at this point. I think Paul, you know, he's still – I guess early 30s. 32. But now it's really time for Melo to really try to win, because that's been the thing on Melo, not being able to win and not having no playoff success. And that's rightfully so. To me, to be a great player in this league, I have to see playoff success and championships. That's what I want to see.
Well, and Melo's never won one.
Exactly.
Paul's never been past the second round.
Exactly.
And to me, the three questions, everybody's asking, can you keep up with the Warriors? My three questions all center around exactly what you, Barry, touched on, what you were talking about. One, is there enough ball to go around? Two, people want to just throw it under the table. The relationship between D'Antoni and Melo soured in New York, and you know as an assistant coach in this league, just because you end up being able to part company doesn't mean all those feelings go away. D'Antoni's going to say the right things because he wants his check, and he wants to keep harmony because he's got years on it. But that's going to be interesting to me. And that locker room dynamic, because everybody I talked to and my sources in L.A. close to the Clippers said DeAndre was pissed, Blake was upset, they got tired of CP3 and all that kind of Kobe control in the locker room. Like, but he just wants to win. I get that. But James has never had anybody tell him anything on that team. And as you said, because he is the franchise, those three things are going to be real interesting for me to watch.
First question, the difference is now Melo's not the main focus of the offense. When he was in New York, it was about him. He was the face of the franchise. And as you guys see, D'Antoni has a certain way to play. It's an open pick and roll, and everybody's involved in the game. You know what? We all know what type of player Melo is. I think he can adjust. He adjusted in all-star games. He adjusted in Olympics, so he can play with other all-star players. And you mentioned Chris Paul. I mean, it's going to be big for him to come in and just win. But you mentioned it, Joe. That guy's an outstanding talent, and he wants to win. Don't you know he's tired of him not going past the second round? And to me, he's a leader, and I think he's going to help James. But people got – hopefully them two, if they get Melo, James sort of has to show a little more leadership. You know, Les is shoving out the money. He's trying to make it happen. Daryl's willing and dealing on the phone. So the Rockets are all in, you know, and that's the way it should be. And in nowadays era, it's about winning now. You know, everybody wants to win now. They're not trying to wait to develop.
How hard is it to shake that that label like Carmelo has, right? I mean, Dream had that label early on in his career where he was a bit of a troublemaker. And is it maturity? Is it, you know, another leader on the team, like Nene maybe sitting him down? I mean, how do you shake that label that he's got?
It's two things. It's maturity and wins. Wins cures all ailments. And to Dream's credit, he started trusting his teammates before I got here. I remember them losing to Seattle when I was with Portland. Me and my man Pac-Man was up in the Great Pacific Northwest
yes, we were.
Together. And I went to go see that game 7 up there because we got eliminated in the first round by the Spurs. So had friends on the team. And I'm like, man, this Rocket team is pretty good. Gary Payton did foul Kenny Smith in that corner on the arm. You know, if we had replay back then, it may be a different time in history. But I saw Dream started trusting his teammates. And then I want to thank Les Alexander for getting me here the following year. And it was fun playing with Dream. I mean, he understood he was going to get doubled, and he had to trust the guys on the perimeter, in which he did. And that's why I won and won back-to-back championships. So I think anybody can learn to trust. And Melo's at the point of his career. He's a great third option on any team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will accept that role, especially all he's been through New York, playing with two great facilitators in James and Paul. All Melo got to do is be ready to shoot the ball.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You talk about trust. This is where James Harden has to take that biggest leap. He started it last year by trusting his teammates because he had guys that could knock down jumpers. The year before, you saw he would start by trusting, and if they didn't make that the first couple shots, he was like, I got to do it all myself. So now it's another step in that maturation process because he's got to trust that, hey, if I give up the ball, get it back. If I don't have an option or I get doubled, I know these guys can score. It's not like I'm not going to get my numbers, but the bigger picture is we got to win as a team. This is what like you're talking about. These are the kind of wins that are going to facilitate your reputation being a lot better.
No question about it. And I'm not the only person in Houston that was disappointed of the outcome last year, especially the great season we had to go out like that. And as you know, Joe, that's all they remember. They don't remember us being third in the West.
Yep.
They remember him losing game 6 and going to the club after the game. That really bothered me. If you're going to be a leader in the face of a franchise, you don't do that. And you saw the commitment Les Alexander made 2 weeks ago. I was in Orlando not believing the numbers.
Right.
This guy's getting $228 million. That's a big-time commitment. And Les is all in. He has belief in this young man. I'm just hoping James has to realize you can't be doing stuff like that when you face it. This is the fourth largest. This is an outstanding city.
Yeah.
Our Astros are rocking and rolling right now. The Rockets are up and coming. Everybody's excited about the Texans. This is a great time for Houston sports. And James, you know, he's part of that. You know,
yeah.
You got him, Watt, Carrera. These are some of the top athletes, not just in the States, but worldwide.
Yeah.
It's exciting, man.
All right, so we're doing Way Back Wednesday, too. I deferred my first hour to Mario. We know Mario's tendencies and his likes. So we start with a little Babyface, but we'll mix in Jodeci and some other things.
There you go, a little Jodeci there. I see you have my man Aaron Hall on the list.
Okay, the East Coast,
you on it?
See, the East Coast roots for Mario are there. If you want to reach the show and talk to us throughout the way, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us up on Twitter, and Mario's even on Twitter, so you can hit any of us on Twitter as well. We're here till 4 o'clock. We are the usual suspects. Right now, I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. My man Mattress Mac and the gang at Gallery Furniture always takes care of you. They have great customer service, and they've been in business for over 36 years here in the Houston area. Now they got three great locations. They got the Galleria location at Westheimer and Post Oak. They got the brand new showroom out there on Highway 99 between Katy and Sugarland, and of course the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Where you buy today, you get it tonight, and they're all solid wood American-made living room and dining room furniture. You can custom-made your man cave with leather furniture and upholstered furniture. And, of course, you get service after the sale because Mac wants you to be a return customer. He's in Houston. You're in Houston. There's no reason why you can't continue to do business for the long haul because of Gallery Furniture. So see one of the three locations. Mac sits at the front desk right there at I-45 and Tidwell Parker. He'll put you in the capable hands of a sales staff that can tell you about if the Astros win it all. You can get your bedroom furniture free if you spend $3,000 or more, and all the other sales that they have going on just to make sure they take care of you. And as Mac always says, no back order splits. Buy today, get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money. How I feel a million years from now, you know
I'll be loving you still. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Drew Hill, you're good with that too?
Of course.
Jodeci get there? Because Nick, Jodeci is big on the Mario Ellie list at any time.
Yeah, I just skipped the first one, but it's still gonna make the list for sure.
Yeah. So you're good with that. All right, so Mario Ellie's joining us in studio. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Nick, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. On a way back Wednesday, Rio taking over my first hour with some way back classics. It's Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did songs that actually I listened to when a chick broke my heart. You ever experienced that, Mario? You never let the ladies get you down?
No, I had a couple heartbreaks, but, you know, you got to move on, you know.
East Coast toughness?
Yeah, exactly. You got to just suck it up. I mean, there's been a little heartbreak out there, but everybody goes through it, I guess.
Yeah.
Nick, well, you know, you're still young.
Exactly. No music in particular that I would listen to after a breakup, but yeah.
It was like, it stopped after junior high, you know what I mean? Like, you stopped listening to that, but like, through junior high, there was tons of music that you would listen to when that girl that you got your first kiss with broke your heart.
For me, it was like, radio was like the worst timing about it. You just came off a breakup.
And right?
And then it plays the song. It's not like I was intentionally trying to play a heartbreak song, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You try to avoid it, then it's right there in front of you before you know it.
It's true.
I know. You're just too tough for all this. No, all right, so. So before the break.
Like, I swear I wasn't going to cry.
I know.
I mean, LL, Jay-Z, they don't have much in terms of the heartbreak department.
Nah, they don't.
So we were talking before the break, some Rocket stuff. But the one thing I did want to get your opinion on, again, aside from your playing career, what, 9 years assistant coach?
10.
Okay, so 10 as an assistant coach as well. You look at what happened. We were talking about James Harden. Game 5 at the end is what where people start pointing the finger. But then what happened in Game 6 and your take on all that?
Very disappointed, especially we talked about earlier the great season they had and the short rotation. I mean, I didn't understand that really. I mean, Spurs, guys go down with the Spurs. Devontae Murray, I ain't never heard of him. They just throwing guys out there. That's why you're in the NBA for. That's why you're on the NBA roster. You can't coach cautious in the playoffs. Play your guys. I mean, Decker and Harrell, that's his name, Harrell, excuse me, I'm too butchering his name. They've been great for the Rockets all year long. And then they finally put Sam in there. Sam comes in and hits two threes immediately. You know, you got to play your whole team. You got the whole roster. at your availability, you got to use it. You know, you got to trust. You got to trust those guys.
But I'm looking at 13. He is the franchise, right? And regardless of what happened at the end of Game 5, no one expected what he did in Game 6.
And great players, you know, you got to respond. And I was with you guys. I was disappointed. Granted, I know he was tired. And my take on all that is, while he's out there, if you see he's tired, run some play. Let Eric Gordon run a pick and roll. Let Lou Williams run a pick and roll. Why James has to do every damn single thing? Those guys are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, got two guys up for six man a year on the same team. And congrats to Eric Gordon. The Rockets had a great night in New York. Very proud of them. But I'm with you guys. That still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Then to come home and have two starters out the Spurs line up and lay an egg like that, that was very disappointing. That was very disappointing.
So I take it you watched every game in the series? Did you happen to catch those?
I watched all the games in every series. I'm a basketball fanatic. This is my time of the year, is the playoffs. And I really examined the games closely, watching them. And just, man, where was the energy? Coming back home, two starters out, having an opportunity to move on and go back to San Antonio for Game 7, because I was very confident that the Rocks can go in there and win a game. They've been close twice, so I was hoping the third time would be a charm.
What did you make of the body language between D'Antoni and Harden? Remember coming out of halftime, D'Antoni, that iconic now photo almost of D'Antoni just kind of spinning the clipboard, them sitting a seat apart, James is looking off in the distance, they're not even talking to each other. Is there something to that? Did everyone, including us in the media, look too much into it? Or do you think there was really some issue going on there with that body language and them not talking?
I mean, just not playing well. That's all I can come up with. There's nothing else to really say or what you read at it. Those are two guys trying to figure out, man, what the hell is going on right now? It's not them getting along. It's just the performance. It's about performing. And both of them were just like on the bench looking for answers. And rightfully so, because we were all puzzled the same like they were puzzled. So they were trying to probably figure out what's going on as we were.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, because that was halftime of Game 6.
Was it? Yeah.
But I think the one thing that really got me was early on, Harden had a wide open three, didn't take it, didn't pull the trigger, then threw a ball into the corner, just threw it out of bounds. And I thought, something's not right. Something is not him, because if we know anything, we know if there's an open shot to be taken, he's going to take that shot. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, going, what's going on? But then, what Barry is referencing, I watched them sit on that bench side by side for over 3.5 minutes, not a word spoken, and I thought, there might be more to this.
What is there to be said? I mean, he played bad, the team played bad, and you're right. He, for him to take that next step, he has to show up in these moments. The great ones do, and he is a great player. Mm-hmm. Has an outstanding year, all the accolades he deserves, but these are the moments we really, really need you. You know, I can remember going to San Antonio. We win two. They come back and get you right back at a home floor. And our best player, Olajuwon, steps up and has a monster game 5 in their court. Granted, Sam came and had an outstanding game. But in those type of situations, the top guy must rise to the occasion. And we were all expecting James in Game 6 to be better. And he didn't. And he has to accept that responsibility. That's a responsibility you have to accept when an organization invests $228 million into you, and we expect you to step up in these moments.
How much pressure is going to be on this team when you've got essentially guys that have the label of not being able to get it done in the playoffs? As a group, is this going to help relax each other, or are they all going to be feeling that pressure now together?
I don't know. I can't go in their mind. They just got to go out and perform. That's what it's about. It's about wins. They got to go out and play. And like I mentioned earlier, it's going to be interesting how, you know, they go divide the ball handling duties between Harden and Chris. But like I mentioned, you know, James is the guy. So whatever happens with this team, it's going to be on him. And if they get Melo and they got CP3, them guys going to have to follow his lead. He's really going to have to take this franchise on his back.
Well, and we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. I mean, one of the things to talk about, too, is the fact that you can't erase any of those past memories until you get to the playoffs. So it's a long regular season before you get the chance to try and set the record straight.
Well, hopefully he's somewhere working out and remembering that, watching that game, because that's all they remember. They don't remember you being a runner-up for MVP. They don't remember you leading the league in assists. They don't remember you being first team All NBA. They remember game six.
I think he may be working out later. He's probably doing a direct deposit right now to make sure that money gets where it needs to go. One thing,
James does work. I saw him work in Vegas last year. That dude does work, and I don't expect nothing different. I'm hoping this bothers him, and he comes in with a reckless abandon this year.
There you have it. All right, more with Mario in just a minute. Right now, I'll tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, a great program brought to you by Houstonians to help kids in the city of Houston trying to get a second chance at an education. How does the program work, you ask? Well, it's very simple. If you've been sitting around looking in your garage or in the back driveway, and you got a clunker that's collecting rust and dust, and it may not even be working anymore, and you've been meaning to get rid of it, and you just haven't gotten around to it, all you got to do is get in touch with the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, and they do the rest. Tell them where you live. Tell them what you got. They come out with a tow truck. They take the vehicle away. It could be a car, a boat, a trailer, anything. And they'll take it away. They'll fill out the paperwork. They'll make sure you get a tax deduction. They'll give you a $50 gift card just for mentioning ESPN 97.5. And that's when the process really begins, because they turn that vehicle into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. That could be book money, warm meals, eyeglasses, bus fare, any of the distractions that can take away from kids concentrating on getting an education. It's a great program, and it's all because of you. So get in touch with them if you've got something to donate, and they'll do the rest. 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Mario Ellie in studio with The Usual Suspects. It's Barry Laminack. It is Nick Sciarra and myself, Joel Blank, as we continue to roll on. If you got NBA-type questions or questions you want to fire off the Clutch City Junkyard Dog, Mario Ellie, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. You want to give a shout-out, so why don't you...
Yeah, let me give a shout-out to my people at Discount Power, my buddy C and Malik. They do a great job over there. Got a great partnership. Feel free to call those guys or just email them at www.discountpowertx.com. They do a good job of giving you service, so give Malik and see a call. Discount Power. Thank you for the shout-out, Joe.
If you don't go to A and B, you got to go to C.
Exactly.
That's what I always say. Other NBA questions, you and I were just talking, but we were talking about the two Houston kids that look like they're in the right spot. But you talk about Jackson from Carolina, and you talk about De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky. Two Houston kids know each other very well. Go to Sacramento.
Play with each other at Houston Hoops.
Yeah, I really think that Sacramento, for Vlade and all the criticism, I thought they did a really nice job then adding the veterans like Zebo, Zach Randolph, Vince Carter. You and I were both saying during the break, look, their locker room's stable with the veterans, and then the young guys, there's enough talent there now that you can start building around.
And it's good to see that guys are excited to play in Sacramento. Everybody be like, oh, I got to go to Sac, cowbells. But seeing Fox and Jackson, and also they got to steal Harry Giles from Duke, who was hurt last year, I thought that was a great pickup. And the kid...
Frank Mason the third.
Frank Mason. Yeah. I'm like, just an outstanding draft by... Vlade and Peja, it's looking bright up there. And, as me being a Houston resident now, you just mentioned, Joe, it's going to be interesting to follow Fox and Jackson, how they in their career. It's going to be exciting. Great job in Sacramento. Just a great offseason for them. I thought Minnesota also had a great offseason. I mean, it's good to see those teams get better. We need more parity and balance in the league, and it's hard to see, a top 17 in the rest of the league, still battling. I remember back when we were playing, it was always a good player in every city you go. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the NBA can get back to that, because I thought the playoffs last year, it was easy road for both teams to get there. That doesn't make you winning a championship like that. You got to go the hard way. I mean, we've been through a couple game sevens through our run, Joe.
Yep.
I mean, first round is Stockton and Malone. Second is Barkley and Kevin Johnson. Then the MVP, David Robinson, and then we got Penny and Shaq. And the year before, we got Ewing and them. So That's how you want it. That's how I wanted to see. You got to compete every round of the playoffs. Then when you finally get there, the finals will be great.
Well, I mean, according to Daryl Morey, they closed the gap. Does that? I mean, does it really going to matter? You know, you like you said, you got to go out and beat these teams. I don't think anyone could have beat them last year. So that's why everyone's trying to create these super teams. Are they chasing their tails with the team that the Warriors have constructed?
Yeah, I mean, just stick to what you do. Add a couple pieces here and there. The Warriors are going to be the Warriors. You can't beat them at their style of ball. They got three guys. They got three of the top shooters in the NBA on one team, and Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. And them guys going to be there at the end. And wasn't nobody surprised that they won the game. We knew if they would have stayed healthy that they had a 99.9% chance of winning. All I want to ask is, where was that defense in OKC, Kevin Durant? You had to come to the Warriors to play defense like that? I didn't understand that. One of the top players in the NBA joining the best team in the NBA. I'm not with that. I'm about competition and parity, but it is what it is. This is the new NBA. Everybody wants to play with each other. All this kumbaya. You want four or five all-stars on one team. And here now, Alvin Silver said, everybody got to keep up with the Warriors. That's not cool. You want parity in the NBA. I want to see Ade Adetokounmpo in Milwaukee. He's an outstanding talent. You want to see these guys in these small markets. I mean, Paul George leaving. And that's why I respect Reggie Miller. He stuck it out in Indianapolis for 18 years. But, yeah, but I guess I'm old school.
Would that get him, though? You know, I mean, yeah, great for him. He stuck it out. But he, you know.
So he wants to go to L.A. Okay. He's in OKC now. You going to go to L.A., then what? Lonzo Ball? I mean, in 2 years, is he going to be a dynamic player? We don't know. Everybody's waiting on what LeBron James is going to do. I never seen superstars move so frequently, you know, in an NBA season, you know. I mean, I'm just used to guys staying at places for a long time. So, to me, it's just different, you know. And I heard LeBron mentioning to Clyde that we had a super team. No. We didn't have those guys in their prime.
Right.
You know, Charles wasn't in his prime. No. Dream wasn't in his prime. Clyde, all you guys joining teams now are in your prime. So let's get the history right on super teams. These guys are all joining each other in their prime. So that's all I want to say about that.
So you're big on super teams.
Doubt it.
You look at everything, too, in the way that it's all put together. Paul George and Westbrook. Yeah, for 1 year, right? And George is trying to play it off. Well, let's see what happens. KD told me OKC's a great spot. KD also left.
Thank you. Preach it, Joe.
Yeah, and the thing to me is, look, Sam Presti knows if we ever get to a point where we don't have at least one superstar, this franchise is in trouble because of how small the market is. But can you see a dynamic in which those guys peacefully get along and they recreate that kind of Westbrook-Durant feel?
I think they need more. You know, I think they still need more. I mean, look at that team that lost in the finals. You had Harden, Ibaka, Westbrook, and Durant.
How did that team not win?
Exactly. And you telling me that Paul George and Westbrook is enough? No, it's not enough. It's not enough. I mean, you need more. I mean, the Warriors are stacked. And the thing that bothers me, nobody talks about the Spurs. They just fly under the radar. They just win 60 games every year. And everybody tends to forget. Kawhi Leonard got hurt when they were up 24 in Golden State. If Zaza doesn't do the dirty play, we never know what might happen. It was a dirty play.
I was about to say, so it was a dirty play.
It was a dirty play. You don't close out like that. You don't close out and keep going while the guy's in the air. It was a dirty play.
All right. Now, so you think based on the teams they have now, let's just assume the Rockets get Melo. Who's having a better year next year? The Spurs as is? They added Rudy Gay or the Rockets?
It's going to be interesting because the Spurs have a system in place. It don't matter who comes in, they're going to run their system. And Dan Tony, we're going to see, you know, and you mentioned the relationship Melo and Dan Tony was sour. Is it just going to change overnight? I mean, both guys, I'm sure, have egos, you know, Melo getting all this money, being a superstar, you know, Dan Tony, coach of the year, you know, well-deserved. But some of these awards, they need to do it after the playoffs, you know. That's why they make it a regular season award. But it's going to be interesting how all these pieces – who else is going to be on the Rocket roster?
That's where I was going with this.
I mean, who else is going to play on the team? You're going to lose some players when you bring Melo in. So is Chris Paul, Harden, Melo. Then who are the other pieces?
Well, you gotta,
PJ Tucker.
You got to keep Eric Gordon.
I like
Gordon.
That pickup.
It was a great pickup, by the way. But you got to keep Eric Gordon just for that second unit. And then you got to hope, which I was going to ask you about, getting veterans like the David West philosophy. They've played enough. They want to win. They see you have this roster. They fill up your bench with veteran minimums because they want a chance at a ring.
I'm looking at the guy who may be going is Ryan Anderson. So it's sort of me, Melo, and Anderson trading spots. I don't know the age difference.
I could see Gasol coming here.
Wow, that'd be good.
Leave San Antonio and come here because he still wants to chase a ring. He knows the D'Antoni system from L.A.
He does.
And he sees the talent as opposed to weighing what he's got in San Antonio.
But does the D'Antoni system help big men? I don't know if they do. I think it's a guard offense because it's a pick-and-roll spacing, and you got to be able to knock down shots. And you're right, Paul Gasol is shooting threes right now, so they may spot him in the corner. So it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be interesting how everything works out.
What's a team you think surprises next year? I mean, you know, you look at like Milwaukee, they might be on the come, the Sixers, if they can get healthy. What's a team you think surprises some people?
The Minnesota Timberwolves will be.
Don't you mean the Timber Bulls?
The Timber Bulls, exactly. The Timber Bulls, I think, made some great offseason moves, added some great pieces. I knew one of them three guys they were going to lose. It was all be either LaVine, Wiggins, or Towns. Towns is not going nowhere. I love what Wiggins is doing. So Thibodeau made a great move by moving Zach LaVine. Had to move one of those guys. Couldn't pay all three of them. But the Wolves, I like, man.
I'm with you. Taj Jeff Gibson.
Taj Gibson.
Jay
Gordy
Crossover.
Jang.
Jamal Jay Crawford.
Crossover. I mean.
And a hell of a coach.
And a great coach.
You got, and again, we talk about how important it is to have that delicate balance. Veterans and the youth, and then to be able to stabilize the court and the locker room. You got those veterans we just mentioned. They'll take care of the locker room. Then how they complement those young kids. Minnesota, I think you're going to see a huge uptick. I thought, and obviously being from Milwaukee, I'm hoping Milwaukee keeps going. But they just got jumped by the Wolves in terms of youth and all the mix and all the putting the pieces together, I think.
Totally agree. But Milwaukee, I mean, Jason Kidd's doing an outstanding job out there. And I know you're a Wisconsin guy. I mean, they're a fun team to watch, man. Adetokounmpo, I had the pleasure of coaching against them and really watching them play this year. That guy is a 7-footer that can do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is dunking on guy with the right hand, left hand, shooting a jumper, blocking shots. I mean,
if he ever develops a three.
Oh, my God.
Whew.
I mean, he can be one of the greatest, man. I mean, this guy has that kind of upside.
There you go. That's the words of Mario Elie, who's going to be with us at least to the top of the hour. So we're going to talk some hoops. If he wants to get some questions in here, we're watching text messages. The phone lines are open on the HRNP listener line. Also hitting us up on Twitter, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick. Special guest Mario Elie joins us in studio. Right now, though, want to give something away. Let's give away some tickets to see the Skeeters play the Lancaster Barnstormers this Saturday, July 15th. Sugarland Skeeters home series against the Lancaster Barnstormers continues. And now we're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to see the battle on the diamond. It's this Saturday, like I said, July 15th. First pitch is at 6:05. The gates open at 5 o'clock. Get there early. It's also bobblehead night for Craig Biggio. Astros Hall of Famer Craig Biggio, they'll have a bobblehead for him that they'll be giving away to the first 2,000 fans. It's affordable family fun. Tickets are still available. Log on to SugarlandSkeeters.com to get yours if you don't win. But if you're caller number 10, you can win 4 tickets to the game July 15th. That's caller number 10, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Good luck. There you go.
So there you have it.
You ever you said earlier before the show started. Now we were talking tennis, and I asked you, are you a big tennis fan? You said, I'm a big sports fan. Have you caught a Skeeters game yet? Have you had a chance to get out there?
No, I haven't got a chance to get out there. As you guys know, I'm from New York. I'm a diehard Yankees fan.
But that I know.
I got to give it up to the Astros. They just doing an outstanding job this year, and they went up to New York, whooped our butt. We came down here and got our butts whipped also. I mean, Correa and Altuve, that middle of that lineup, boy, that's a problem, man.
Yeah, but how good do you feel with Sanchez and Judge? You got to be feeling pretty good about
yourself. We're feeling good because we didn't expect this year from us. We thought we needed a year, but very excited about Judd. I mean, won the home run derby. He's bigger than damn everybody out there anyway.
Did you guys see him next to Frank Thomas?
I saw him next to Altuve. I'm like, that looks like his son. I'm like, is that Judd's son on second base over there? But that guy's so good, man.
Before the game, before batting practice, Frank Thomas went out of the booth and went and stood. And Frank Thomas is a big man. And even now, he's gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He was looking up to Aaron Judge. That's how big that dude is. That's insane.
6'7", 285, yeah, man. He was a ball player, too, in the Bay Area. So
that's a big boy.
Proud of him.
Yeah, no doubt. And Didi Gregorius, and those, he's hitting the ball. And unfortunately, you're still in New York.
Our pitching is terrible, man. Yeah. I mean, all our pitchers are laying eggs this year. Even Betances and Chapman been struggling. But got to give it up to the Astros. They looking just fabulous out there.
I gotta mention something that happened during the break. Intern Raj is here, and he's wearing a Clutch City shirt. And it's got all the names on there. Except one.
Exactly.
It says
how you
Clutch
gonna
City
have
on
my
the
name
side.
On
Rod,
the Clutch
get in the
City
window.
Shirt.
Rod, get in the window. It says Clutch City on the side. Then you got Murphy, Elijah Wan, Ori, Drexler, then Francis McGrady.
Come on, y'all. Yeah. Tripping.
And Mario looks at him and goes, bro, how you going to have on a Clutch City shirt and my name's not on there?
Exactly.
Man, get away from me.
Y'all don't get the second one without my J from the corner. Y'all better
Phoenix,
recognize,
baby.
Boy. Come on now.
It should just say JYD, right? It
man,
should just have.
Do I need to get my own Clutch City shirt? Y'all crazy out here, man. Come on. Houston.
Oh, Mario. Don't let them do that to you, man.
That is fantastic.
Man. Have you ever had any of these local T-shirt companies reach out to you? Because, you know, they've
really
been making a bunch of those.
I should have been smarter than patting that kiss of death back in the day, man.
Well,
I should have patted that.
You know, oh, man. I'm telling you, I bet you could get with one of these local, because there's a lot of local companies that make shirts like that.
Yeah.
You need to get a signature shirt going.
No doubt.
Well, how about the money overall? You know, I was talking to Corey Brewer down at Fondy.
I can't think about it. It makes me sick. I mean, it's the era we in right there. I mean,
how about Hardaway Jr. signs for 4 years and $71 million in New York? That contract alone surpasses the total amount of money Tim Hardaway made in the NBA. Run TMC, borderline Hall of Famer. Guy had, I mean. And Corey Brewer saying, I'm going to play 5 more years because in those final 5 years, I'm going to make more than I made as a first-round lottery pick and in my first 11 years in the NBA.
It's funny you say that, Joe. I was with him in Orlando. We met for cigars because he was down there for summer league, and I was down there for AAU, and we happened to run each other at the cigar bar, and we were just talking and laughing about that.
Yeah.
You know, we were laughing about that because Tim is a million, million times better than his son, and like you mentioned, Joe, he should be a Hall of Famer. How's this? How's TMC?
Mully and Mitch Richmond are in.
Where's the T of that?
Right.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. That dude had a great career. Had the pleasure of playing with him in Golden State, where we were averaging just as much as this Warrior team. We were averaging 116.
Well, you guys had a squad.
117 back then. So, yeah, it's crazy the money they're getting, how they breaking down how much these guys are getting. I mean, God. I mean, John Wall is mulling over a 4-year, $170 million deal.
Not sure about that. I don't know if I'm going to sign that.
I'm
what?
Like, huh? You can get another 100 after that. So it's crazy. I'm happy for the guys. Franchises are worth $1 billion. Might as well bless the players. But my beef is take care of the coaches, too. Take care of the assistants. And I know everybody gets the head coach, but assistant coaches do a lot of work out there. Come on, NBA. Bless the assistants with more money, please.
Whose decision is that? Is that the owners? I mean,
it's, I guess, owners, players, it's everybody. Everybody think it's just about the players, the owners, and the head coach. The assistants and these workout guys, video guys, they do a lot of work behind the scenes. Yeah. They don't get the credit they deserve. Everybody else getting money. Take care of those people, too.
I don't think people realize that, and you spending 10 years as an assistant can vouch. But from the standpoint of a technical standpoint, because of iPads now and iPads being allowed on the bench, the video guys are relied on so much more. From as soon as you get on the plane, the scouting report and the video to support
your game is already. You got 5 games of the next opponent on your computer. All offense, all defense. You can run through a game in 40 minutes. You can run through 3 games in a plane ride. So
assistant coaches each have. It's split up, but they each have the next one of the next opponents to break down and make the game plan for. So it's not just what you do on the bench or at practice when you're working with your guys individually. You guys are breaking down tape, breaking down teams, making game plans, just like a head coach.
Absolutely. It's a hard job while all the players, everybody's sleeping. We're the only guys on the plane really working, you know, and we got to get the film ready. We may get in at 3 o'clock. We may have a back-to-back. Coach may want to show some offensive sets from the night before, then go to the scouting report. So you got all this film work you got to do. I mean, it's great work. I really enjoyed it, but it's very, very hard. It's very hard to be an assistant in the league. You got to be a grinder. You got to love everything about the game. And to be an assistant, that's what you have to do.
Yo, Adrian on Twitter said, Mario probably gets this all the time, but as a Spurs fan, how was Pop as a coach?
Outstanding. I mean, he treats you like a person. Pop is just an amazing individual. He's like your dad, you know. I mean, he'll get on you, then he'll call you later, man, let's go out to dinner and chat. Sorry, I didn't mean to get on you like that. I mean, just an amazing individual. He knows how to read players. He knows the type of players he wants on his team. So he's been doing it for a long time. He's been successful. Definitely, I'm glad he's finally getting a chance to coach the Olympic team. I don't know what took so damn long, but I'm glad he's getting his just due.
You got aspirations to coach again?
I do. I got a couple more years left that I want to coach. I'm in my 50s now, so.
Don't tell anybody that.
Exactly, but I still look good, though, Joe. I work out all the time.
I'm not taking that from you.
I still got the guns.
Eat right. I just want to set an example for my kids. I got high schoolers now. I don't believe it. My kids are in high school already. Yeah, but
2 boys playing. And
my daughter's a volleyball player, so we're really about health and fitness in the family.
How frustrating is it for you? And I know they're friends of yours in the case of Jason Kidd, but how frustrating is it that you put in the work, you put in the time, you paid your dues, you want that chance to be a head coach, and you see Jason Kidd, you see Derek Fisher, you see these guys getting the call and having never coached on any level except for running the team as a point guard, and you had the one hot year where everybody wanted to talk to you, and then you pretty much pay the price for having a successful season with interviews, and then these guys get jobs.
It's just happened, Joe. It's part of the game you play. It's like who you know. It's relationships. So that's the nasty part of the job, like you mentioned. You know, there's a lot of deserving guys. I'm hoping Sam gets a chance out there. I'm hoping Bickerstaff gets a chance. You got some good young African-American coaches out there. I wish I'd get a chance. You get a lot of these video guys who've been in the video for a long time. Now they're head coaches. But that's how the game works. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's how the game is.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I don't know how much this makes you mad, but a guy on Twitter just sent me a link, Roe Pimpin, and it said that, there's a Kiss of Death shirt out there by a local company.
And it's crazy that I don't get a penny of that.
I was just like, where's your royalty? Yeah, you might want to have someone contact
$25 for a shirt.
Yeah, I'm about to, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah, man.
Know? That's not cool. So,
with your image.
Yeah.
With my image on it, you know. Yeah. But I'm too busy. I got triplet kids I'm raising.
Right. You put them through college if the shirt takes off. I mean, there you have it.
It's crazy.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time. I know you got a lot of things going on and a lot of things to do, but anytime you spend time with us, I personally appreciate it. Barry appreciates it. Nick,
thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for stopping
in. And Barry, all my boys, Joe, you know, me and Joe's family. I mean, we're friends, we're family.
We go back to Portland before the Rockets. Crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I mentioned me and Joe up in the great Pacific Northwest. But Houston sports are on fire right now. Real excited about the football season. Hope we get Melo. That'll be a great excitement for the basketball scene. So, looking forward to it.
And you got to watch the Texans. Your Giants aren't going to be very good. So, with that.
Ooh. I didn't know Aaron Rodgers this whole telecast.
Mario Elie's been with
us. Thanks for being here, Mario.
We love having him with us. So, please follow Mario on Twitter, too. What's the Twitter handle?
At Mario Elie 1. Hit me up, y'all. Hit me up.
There you go. At Mario Elie 1. We'll continue with much more Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere. No more fears. I really don't want to lie.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.